Blog Talk Radio.
It's Wednesday afternoon, and we're excited to be on the air and hosted by Blog Talk Radio. Your hosts for today are Robert Brining and Joshua. We'll be taking your calls and speaking out on the topic of the week. We encourage all of our listeners to call in and share some of your life experiences with us. The number to call is 347-215-9442. 347-215-9442. Welcome to Pause IM Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of Pause IM Radio. My name is Robert Brining, and I'm joined by my co-host, Joshua, from Orlando. How you doing, Josh?
Pretty good. I'm back.
What'd you say?
I said I'm back.
That was good. I'm glad that you can make it.
Sorry about last week. I was listening to the show and completely bummed me out that I couldn't make it.
It's okay. I kind of got lost for words when we first started today's show because I just noticed Yelly popped in.
Yeah.
And it made me excited because I haven't seen the girl and I miss her, so I just want to send some love to her as she's listening. But, I'm glad to have you back. Last week, you know, we had Jack McEnroth on from Project Runway, and it was, to me, it was like one of those moments that I'll never forget. You know what I mean? If I don't ever meet him in person, I'm happy with just being able to talk to him over the phone.
Yeah, that was awesome to have him on the show.
Yeah, and I told him with other events and things that he has coming up that, you know, if there's something that he wants to get out there, he can more than welcome come back. So I'm sure he'll eventually come back.
Yes, and I will be there for sure.
We can wrap it around. So I want to welcome everyone to the Pause IM Radio. If you're not familiar with it, it is a part of the Pause IM community, which is a social networking site for people infected and affected by HIV and AIDS. And it is located at www.pauseim.com. And you can find me and Josh on there. Welcome John and Spirit Man to the mix today. What else did I want to say to you? Today's show is on disclosure and how and when to disclose your HIV status. It's a pretty controversial topic. Some people believe that there should be rules against disclosing, you know, your status before you engage in any kind of sexual practice. And I kind of want to touch on all different things and find out what people think. So, because I know, you know, everybody thinks differently. And I thought it would be a good topic for you, Josh, since you're, you know, somewhat newly diagnosed. This disclosure thing is kind of new to you.
Oh, yeah. It's basically, especially in the beginning stages, that's what it's all about. That's what your initial, well, I guess, except for the shock value of it all, but really it's all about just disclosure. It's what you do with that. What are you going to do with it, this information? You know, do you keep to yourself? Who do you share it with? Who do you trust sharing with? Because it's a big deal, you know. So
yeah,
it's definitely something that I deal with on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, it's a lot of, when you're newly diagnosed, I mean, and I'm sure even people who, you know, have, you know, been living with it for many years, still when that disclosure, if they have an issue, sometimes it's just hard to say, you know, I'm positive or, you know, I have HIV and totally lost my train of thought. I'm right out of my head. But it leads to a lot of depression. I know in the beginning stages when I was first diagnosed, the disclosure part, the whole how am I going to be able to say this to somebody and how am I going to, you know, be able to be loved again, that was like a big thing that led into my depression, you know, when I was first diagnosed. Do you find that that's a big thing that leads into like when you get down, you know, down in the dumps sometimes?
Oh, of course. Because initially I was in a relationship when I found out, and after that ended, it was a reality check for me, and the only thing I could think of was, who's going to want me now? And because I'm really into, like, family and relationships and stuff like that, so being in a relationship, I hold, you know, to a high value, and it just seemed that anyone with, you know, HIV, a lot of the people I would run into were very promiscuous and stuff like that, and it was totally not what I wanted. So it was was hard for me because I felt like I had very little to choose from. I'm already picky enough, and now I have a smaller pool of people to choose, and it took me almost a year to feel comfortable enough to start talking to people who weren't positive and kind of starting from that point and from a different angle and seeing if people were okay with it.
So once you started disclosing, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Right.
Go ahead.
I
thought you were done. Once you started to open up and finally accept it and disclose to people, how were the reactions that you were getting from them? Were they different? Were they accepting? Were they, negative?
It was from one side or the other. The first person I ever told outside of, my previous relationship was someone that I was dating for a while, and he was HIV negative. And I touched on it, I think, when you first interviewed me. We just sat there and cried for hours, and then it manifested into kind of, he felt sorry for me, but it was kind of angry at the fact that, he wasn't strong enough to pursue the relationship. And, I've gotten some people where I'm in a situation and I just sit there and I'm like, hey, I'm HIV positive. And then they turn around there and they say, you know what, me too. And she's like, whoa, that was a relief, moving on, because that's usually a big, when you're about to say something like that, you're already preparing yourself for a long conversation. And when someone turns around and says, hey, me too, it's just, it makes things a lot easier. So I'm kind of, I've kind of got it all.
Yeah, I had an experience like that when I told someone that I was positive, and then they responded with, yeah, me too. And that burden and all that weight off your shoulders is like, wow,
yeah.
You understand. I don't have to say a word.
Yeah. Cause
you know what I mean?
That split second right before you even say it, for me at least, my heart just like begins to just crunch up and feels like it's going to implode.
Right. And sometimes I was like, well, when were you going to tell me?
Yeah, definitely.
Like,
thanks for stressing me out.
But in such a sigh, I had, there was times when I couldn't even say it and I just broke down. I remember breaking down in a car to somebody about it. And
wow.
And I just couldn't stop crying. You know what I mean? And they were like, well, what's wrong? And I was like, I couldn't even say it.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Because I didn't know how they were going to react. And in the end, they reacted in a good way and they accepted it. And I found that actually most people that I opened up to actually accepted it and were okay with it and continued to date me for a while.
Right.
When I first met my partner, I've been with him for 4 years, and when I first met him is the night, I disclosed. Sometimes it was different for other people, but I closed it this night we were there, and he was okay with it, and he didn't see anything wrong with it, so it was kind of cool.
That's really cool. Sometimes you kind of think about it, when you build up that courage to actually disclose it to somebody, you kind of already have a guess in your head how they're going to react. Maybe not the exact reaction, but you kind of think that, okay, once I tell this person, they're going to react negatively or they're going to be supportive. So everyone that I've said, I've disclosed to, I've kind of predicted how they're going to react, whether it's in a good way or a bad way. And I've been pretty much dead on. It's just what happens afterwards is basically up to them, because you just kind of give them this big secret type of thing. And I hate to even think of it as a secret, too. And that's what the whole stigma is. It's just you feel like you have to keep it to yourself, and it's a big deal. And what annoys me about it is that I feel like I have to – it's like coming out again,
Yeah.
So it's just a hassle. It's just a pain in the butt, really.
I feel like a lot of people consider it to be shameful to be HIV positive, and that's where, the first look, if you're looking at it and you're ashamed. I went through the stages, so I know that's like one of the feelings that you feel after being diagnosed, but
mm-hmm.
once you get over that hump of shame and you
right.
have to totally accept it yourself, because there's really no rules. There's no rules in disclosure. There's no, you know, this is the time you have to do it. This is the way you have to do it. This is who you have to tell. You know what I mean? You can choose and be picky about who you tell, and the way that you do it obviously is going to evolve and change over time because you're going to be more comfortable with saying it, and your attitude's going to change. It changed for me. I mean, now I tell anybody.
Exactly. And I shot you in an email before, like, the more I say it, the easier it is. I could just say it to myself, and it feels like as if I had another 10 pounds lifted off of me. And it's just, you could even, like, rehearse to yourself, you know, and it makes you feel a lot better, and it makes it feel like it's okay because it's you, and it's going to be okay type of thing. But, you know, now there's laws against disclosure. So there's a lot going on when it comes to, you know, being HIV positive and worrying about a law in the back of your mind as well.
There is a study that was done that I read about that asked, you know, how people feel about disclosing their HIV status. And here it said 40% reported that they an indecision about HIV disclosure, and 31% planned never to tell certain people, while 28% desired to reveal their status to someone, and 21% regretted having told someone.
Wow.
I mean, there's certain people that I don't tell, I don't regret telling anybody because it is me, you know what I mean? It is who
right.
I am today. And if you had a problem with it, then that's your problem, you know? So I don't really regret telling anybody.
Yeah, that's kind of sad to think that somebody would regret. I'm trying to imagine what kind of a situation would stem from being regretful.
Well, someone could, you know, tell their mother that they are, you know, disclosed to their mother for the first time, and their mother could be very negative about the whole situation. And
I suppose,
you know what I mean? Like, you know, people are.
I mean, I would fall in the percentage of there are probably some people that I would never tell, and I mean, and that's the point that I'm at right now. In the back of my mind, I honestly feel like one of these days I will be out there, and you know, that's what I'm kind of working myself up to. So I'm pretty sure eventually everyone's going to know, but at the point that I'm at right now, my immediate family is going to be the hardest group of people to ever tell. And I'm at the point that I'm at right now, I'm thinking they're never going to know. I'm not even going to like bother them with that. But you know, the partner I have right now, he's open about it with his family, and I can see what the support in it. So I'm on my way.
Yeah, you know, it's a slow moving, you know,
yeah, some
process
people
that we
do
go
it.
Through.
Yeah, so everyone's different, and just kind of.
I mean, for me, the first person I told, I mean, I went to the doctors. They told me there was a friend of mine who drove me to the doctors, who I told, who I don't even talk to anymore, and then there was my partner at the time who I told. And then I literally, a day or two after finding out my diagnosis, I told my mom. I'm a mama's boy at heart. So whenever I have a problem, whenever I get sick, whenever I need an answer to something, I always go to my mom.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because my mom's always been supportive in her own way. She's one
right.
of those people that are supportive, but she also lets you know how she feels about it.
Right.
You know what I mean? So,
it's mother.
and I respect that. You know what I mean? And that's fine. Like, that's fine. You can give me your opinion, but I'm still going to be me, and this is how it's going to be, you know. But
yeah.
She was like, she was very, like, you know, okay with it. I thought it was hard for me to tell my mom. But I also sat down. It wasn't just me. It was me and an ex-boyfriend that I had, we all sat down and I told my mom.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of like I had someone else there to support me who was okay with it.
Or jump in between, you know, you and your mom.
Yeah.
Or something. Yeah.
I'm trying to think here.
That does make things a bit easier. So yeah, well, I mean, I was very fortunate. I was very fortunate that I had somebody around at the time. So I could, I don't even want to imagine what it would be like being somewhere alone and finding out yourself. I came across somebody that was in New York City. He had moved there, didn't know anybody. And 2 months after he was living there, he found out. And he said that he already felt isolated when he moved up there because he didn't know anybody in such a large city. And that just drew him even into a deeper depression. And that just, you know, it hurts to hear that someone had to do that, had to go through that alone. And I was very fortunate to have people around at the time.
Yeah, I agree with you. And then that's, you know, that's the reason why I created the Positive Community, for people to be able to find people they could relate to. It's very hard to open up to people who have no idea what's going on and don't understand what it's like to be diagnosed with a chronic illness.
Exactly.
So, you know what I mean? It's kind of in the air. I personally, because, I mean, this is the part that gets controversial, is when and when you should disclose your HIV status. You know, some people do it when you first meet someone, and some people won't do it until, you know, they're about to, you know, they know that the relationship's going to get serious and move into sex. And then some people don't even disclose at all.
Right.
So what is your take on when do you think you should disclose? Like, when do you disclose?
Every situation to me is different.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in situations where the first person, I got into dating this guy and, you know, not expecting that it was going to progress into anything serious. It was a very kind of, it started as a cool friendship. We were just hanging out. Nothing relationship-wise was developed. And when it did, it was probably a couple months later, and it was happening so fast, and I would avoid any sort of sexual interaction with him because I knew I had to gather myself and, you know, just prepare myself to tell him, because I wasn't going to engage in anything until he knew the whole story. And it made me nervous because it wasn't a planned situation, as if I started hanging out with someone with kind of an intent of becoming more serious. So that was like my battle. Right now, I still believe it's a per, you know, specific situation.
Right.
I don't really sit down with somebody and, you know, first date and disclose my whole entire sexual past. but I'll take many dinners. No, I'm kidding. But I don't know. It's tough.
Yeah, well, the way I look at it is, my opinion, and again, me and Josh are just two normal guys who are HIV positive, who are just trying to help other people find a sense of, you know, relating to each other. So we're not doctors, so, you know, we're just giving our opinions here. But me, I feel disclosure should be, I just want to put it out there so people don't think, you know, something crazy.
Right.
but for me, disclosure is, it should be done before any kind of, you know, sexual contact.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, that can change any situation. Some people, you know, you might want to do it when you're on your first date, and some other people like to do it, you know, on the fifth date. So as long as it's before anything that could, you know, put your partner at risk.
For me, it's trust. At the point that I'm at right now, it's about trust. Like, do I trust this person with this information? Because if I were more open about it, like if I were, you know, out and about being like an activist, obviously wouldn't care because everyone would know. But I'm in the beginning stages of it all. And if I were to tell someone that I didn't trust, you know, I could face, you know, other people coming and approaching me, and I would feel more comfortable approaching other people than having a group of people coming up to me and asking me a bunch of questions. Oh, I heard so-and-so said this and that. And then you kind of feel like it's a damage control almost, and I wouldn't want to go through that. So for me, I would just have to build that trust and know that this person, whether they'll like the information or not, they could be mature enough and keep it to themselves.
While I was looking for some more stuff on this topic, because we did a show like this on Sundays, I found this little a bunch of articles of little quotes from people who were asked about disclosing, you know, their HIV status. And one of them is by a guy who's 36 years old, and his name is Alan. And he says, "Disclosure is a personal thing. Even though I'm comfortable with my status, I only disclose whenever the situation necessitates it. Usually only when I feel comfortable with the person I'm with. If they are unable to accept this, then I wouldn't feel any worse about myself, but rather think it just wasn't meant to be. Recent change in law and the possibility of imprisonment if someone gets infected puts positive people under pressure to disclose. This can make the situation much more difficult."
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. It's obviously, you know what I mean, if they're going to put the law into effect that you can – and, you know, go to jail or, you know, go to prison for infecting somebody by not disclosing, and they can prove it. I don't know. See, that's where it gets controversial again.
Very gray.
Because I'm the type of person that, again, I disclose before any kind of sexual practice, but I think that it's just very hard because I can understand why people don't disclose. You know what I mean? But I think that...
you have to be responsible, too. I mean, there's people out there that are not disclosing and engaging sexual acts. And that... I think that's what the law is kind of geared for people like that. But then again, that's hard to prove. And, you know, you can't, how do you prove... I guess you can prove malicious intent, but it's silly. It's trying to. I think they're trying to just weed everybody out and trying to out everybody. And it seems, I mean, this sounds a little dramatic, but almost like Holocaust-ish. You know, are they going to make us wear a badge? You know, saying, "Hey, we're HIV positive too."
I feel like that there should be some sort of law against it, because for me, if somebody disclosed their status to me before having sex with me, I wouldn't be where I'm at today.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know what the law should be, but I feel like that there should be. But then you have to prove it. And again, that's where you said, like you said,
exactly.
It's very hard to prove
right.
that somebody didn't disclose their status. And I feel that it's my responsibility as the person who's living with HIV. It's my responsibility to be like, "Hey, I'm HIV positive, just so you know." Or, you know what I mean, like beforehand. I feel like it's my responsibility where a lot of people, and we got heated on the show before, where people thought that, well, if you're going to come out and if you're going to, you know, hook up with me and have sex with me, it's your responsibility to ask me if I am.
Mm-hmm. And
what do you think?
It goes both ways. If I was going to, you know, be intimate with somebody and have sex with them and not ask, that's my own fault too. It goes both ways. There's fault. There's equal fault.
But do you feel that it's your responsibility more than somebody else's to ask?
No. I think it's just as equal. Because if someone asks me and I lie, that's completely different. But, if someone's going to just start sleeping around people and not asking, you know, it's not even just HIV. There's many other STDs.
Right.
We're all adults. If you're concerned about your health, you're going to ask. If you're really not concerned about your health, you're not asking. And for these people that turn around and try to sue people, my first question is did you ask? If not, then that just proves to me that you weren't concerned about your health to begin with, that you weren't responsible enough to go around and ask. So it's a 50-50 thing. We have to say something, and then they have to ask as well, because the whole burden shouldn't have to fall on us. And you can't assume that everyone is HIV negative. It's safer to assume that everyone does have it, and then you go from there.
Yeah, that's the best way. I mean, if you always use a condom, you're good to go.
Exactly.
And one of the things that I'm trying to think of what I was going to say. I wanted to mention to the people in the chat room, you are more than welcome to call in and comment on Disclosure and give us your opinion and your comments. You can give us a call at 347-215-9442, or you could always use Skype and click the talk button. but, yeah, it's so touchy. It's really weird. Now, some other places where people are, you know, question Disclosure is when they go to the doctors or when they go to the dentist. And I don't mean, you know, your infectious disease doctor. I'm talking about your regular – some people go to just a family doctor, like their normal doctor.
Right.
And I personally, I just go to one doctor. It's my infectious disease doctor if I have anything wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I go every 3 months and get my blood taken and get my results back. And if I have a cold or something really bad, I'll make an appointment with him to get in there.
Right.
I don't play the two-doctor rule unless, you know, there's something comes up and I think I need a second or a third opinion. Then I'll go
right.
to another doctor. Do you have multiple doctors?
Well, the research study that I'm in, I have – a research coordinator that's linked to a doctor, and then they advise me to have a primary care doctor just in case, you know. But I don't go to him at all. I just go to my research study because I get checked up every 3 months, no more than every 3 months. So I don't really need that. It would be kind of considered a second doctor. But I remember the first time I went to the dentist after – finding out that I was HIV positive, and then they have a list of, you know, check would apply to you. And I remember when I got to HIV, I just looked at it and stared at it for like a good like minute, and I finally checked it, and that was kind of
a moment.
It was like a moment for me.
Hold on a second. I have John from the United Kingdom on. John, you're on the air with us. How you doing, man?
Hi guys. How you doing? Fine, thanks.
Hey,
well, I've been diagnosed, 18 years now, and it's always been a big issue for me, disclosing. I've always felt it's been my responsibility to tell people before I actually get involved with them. I say get involved with them, I mean I get to know them, and then once I ascertain what they're going to be like, then I tell them before it possibly develops into anything else. Because I find it's... it affects me more by not telling them than it does me telling them, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, like it affects you inside more, like it bothers you.
Yeah. And it also got to a point where I was actually avoiding getting in contact with people.
That's how I was.
So I didn't actually have to tell them, so I'd avoid any sort of physical contact at all. Which is quite difficult. It gets very lonely at times. Avoidance was the biggest thing, but I think on the whole, it's best to disclose on the outset and see where it goes from there. Because there's nothing worse than actually getting involved with someone, not having told them, then telling them, then buggering off. Basically, I'd rather be upfront. If they decide they don't want to hang around, then fair enough.
Well, that's a good way to look at it, right?
Yep.
Now, how old were you when you were diagnosed, John?
I was diagnosed when I was 34.
Okay. And how was it when you came out and, like, disclosed to your friends?
Some of my friends I told straight away, close friends. My mother I told the day I got diagnosed. She accepted it very well. She actually accepted better than when I came out of the closet, to be honest. when I came out, she didn't actually speak to me for 6 months afterwards. But on this issue, she knew it was fine, so I've had her support ever since.
Well, that's good.
But on the whole, if I've told anyone, I've never had any problems with reactions apart from one person who I actually told, who actually burst into tears. I thought was a strange reaction. And he said, why did you have to tell me? Because he felt I was putting him in a position to decide whether or not to go any further with it. But he just burst into tears. because I put the onus on him by telling him if you get my drift, which was rather a bizarre situation to be in at the time.
I bet. You're cutting in and out a little bit. Are you using the Skype thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, because you were just cutting in a little bit, so I missed some of that last bit that you were saying. So, but you feel that before you get involved that you should disclose before, and you feel that it's you, your responsibility as the person that is HIV positive.
Yeah. My personal feelings, yeah.
I kind of agree with you, so it sounds good. How's the weather out there in the United Kingdom?
Better than it has been. It's been warmer.
It's raining here.
It's 80 degrees in Orlando.
What you're saying about disclosure, to friends and whatever, I've been sort of to who I tell, but I was a chairman of a HIV organisation over here for a while. And on the gay scene, I would actually stand up when we did fundraising events and actually stand up in front of people and tell about my diagnosis, no problem. Mainly because I didn't have the interaction of people knowing who I was anyway, which made it easier for me. So things like that I can do, but on a personal basis, it's different.
So is the stigma just as bad as it is over there in the UK?
Oh, yes, yeah. You know, I'm up front on my, like, gaydar, my profile, I've got my status on there. And you find you don't get hit so often.
Right.
I'm trying to think. There's a guy who is involved in the campaign that I'm involved with, Hope Voice. It's the Does HIV Look Like Me campaign, and he's from the UK. And I'm trying to remember his name, but he's trying to open up a place where you can go, like, and get, like, tested, I guess. You know what I mean, for HIV, and something that's open up on the weekends because there's not one there.
Right.
From what I hear, and I can't remember his name. Now it's going to bug me. Trying to think of his name, Chad. I don't remember his name. But he's trying to open it up over there, and I just reminded me of him because you're in the UK, and he was pretty vocal out there and speaking, you know, trying to put himself out there and represent, you know, the HIV-positive community and show people that we're, you know, we still exist, we're still here. So I'll have to find his information, and I'll send it to you so you can check it out. But thanks for calling in, John.
That's all right. Nice to speak to you.
Have a great
good one.
Bye for now.
So if you want to give us a call, you can give us a call at 347-215-9442. I'm going to read another one of these disclosure here, little notes. This girl is 35 years old. Her name is Natasha, and she says, I told my then boyfriend that I was positive in a McDonald's car park. Okay. I thought to myself, if he runs away, then at least I still got a Big Mac. Earlier I told him there was something he didn't know about me that I had to tell him. He wondered what it could be for the most of the day. And then I told him I was positive. He was actually quite relieved. He thought I was going to tell him I used to be a man. We have been married now for many years.
But that's not really good because, man, she must kind of look a little masculine then.
That's kind of funny.
I would take that as an insult.
But, you think about it. Some people, some of those girls that look like that, you know, some of the men that turn into women are very good-looking women. And you can't tell. Sometimes you can tell. I'm not talking about a drag queen. I'm talking about the people who get it, you know, completely transformed and become who they really are. And they really look like, they really can pull it off. So I can understand maybe.
I actually have a client that comes to my store, and she's a post-op transgender.
Uh-huh.
And the first couple of times, I had not a clue. And then the third time she came by, she said something or did something, and it just, something in my head said, only a guy would do that. And then the fourth time I had mentioned something about, oh yeah, we have another transgender, oh we have this one transgender customer, because I have three actually that come to the store, and she said, "Oh, did you know I used to be a man?" And my jaw just dropped. I was like, "I can't believe it." But she has a boyfriend, and you would not be able to pick her up in the crowd. She's beautiful. She looks like a thin Jessica Simpson.
Yeah, but I think the reason he thought that was the way that she worded her phrase to him, saying, "There's something I want to tell you that you don't know about me."
Right.
You know what I mean? So that can kind of be taken
like Ed, or
like, what are you trying to tell me that you know?
Yeah.
So you might be.
Are you
going
to take me to Jerry Springer?
Let's see. I'm going to go down to the next one here. This is a guy named David. He's 26. He says, "I have never been put in a situation and have never had sex with anyone openly HIV positive. I'm not sure exactly how I deal with it. I would like to think that I would be fine and accepting, but I may feel a bit scared at first. It would only take for one condom to break to mean a lifetime of pill taking and blood tests, so I'm not 100% sure I would get involved. Then again, he's negative, so that's what he's saying. I may really like him, and it would be tough for me to turn down someone I like." So he's saying he's never been in the situation. He don't know if he would put himself in the situation because he may be scared because he's only, you know, the condom breaks and, you know, it could be transmitted. But he doesn't really know, because if he really likes somebody, you really like someone. When you know, when you love someone, you love someone.
Right.
Regardless of what they come with.
Well, it's all about education, too. Some people are just scared. Some people are so paranoid they don't want to share a spoon with somebody. And there's a lot, I still think most people don't have a clue about HIV. And I find stuff out every day, and I'm living with it.
Right.
So I think a lot of it is just the fear of the unknown. People, you have to kind of sit there and educate them. And that's how I go about disclosing, is I sit there and kind of educate people on HIV first before I say, "Hey, by the way, I'm HIV positive," type of thing. You know, I kind of just do it subtle, like little subtle classes, I guess, and kind of educate them before. So instead of just saying, "Hey, you know, I'm HIV positive," and they're only going with what they know, or, you know, or myths that they know.
Well, the common everyday person doesn't go online and look at information on HIV. You know what I mean? So it's basically people who are either infected or affected by it are the people who go and look it out. And that's with anything, because I remember when, you know, my dad was diagnosed with lung cancer, we looked at everything on the website. It's like, and I never looked at cancer before, so it's really when you're affected by it, that's when you show an interest in it. And, you know, that's why people go around and speak to people, you know, and do these, you know, big engagements where they talk about, you know, HIV education and stuff, because people, everyday people, aren't looking at this stuff because it's not affected them yet.
Right.
And I think a lot of people in my family really haven't really looked at it. Like my, I'm addicted to Facebook now, and, just so everybody knows, we do have a Pozitron Radio fan page on Facebook. You can find that. I'm addicted to it, and all my cousins and everybody are on there, and they really, I don't tell, like, my immediate family knows I'm positive. My aunts and uncles maybe know, but, like, I never really told my cousins, and I don't know if my aunts and uncles told my cousins, but they're on, and my mom's aunt is on, so I believe she's my great aunt, and she just joined and friended me, and she read that I have the radio show and came to the site, and she thinks it's the coolest thing that her nephew is an AIDS activist.
Uh-huh.
She's like so excited about it. She's like, "We have to talk about it," and it's just like I get a lot of different reaction about it. So once you're affected by it, I think that people's eyes open a little bit wider, and they open their hearts a little bit more, and they just accept it.
Right.
Let's see if I can read the next one. This is someone who is 26, and he is HIV negative. He says, I would feel hurt and violated if someone didn't disclose an HIV positive status before we had sex. I would definitely never sleep with anyone with a communicable disease in a casual setting. I would also want to press charges. So, I mean, it's mixed reviews, you know, and that's somebody who's negative saying that, you know, that's how they feel, and everybody's entitled to an opinion.
Correct.
Let's see. Paul here is 35, and he is positive, and he says, I never tell anyone about my status. My doctor and my mother are the only two people who know. I am no risk to anyone, so why should I tell them about it? I do not need anyone else's support and have dealt with what the virus means years ago. I have sex often, and HIV has never once been mentioned by either party. So that's one of those touchy ones.
Yeah.
You know, and these are people being honest, and this is people doing.
But that's reality. And people are not asking. And that's why I think it's their fault too, because you're obviously not concerned about your own health. Because if you were, you would ask.
Right.
And I don't know.
If they're not asking,
that somebody is going out there and not saying anything themselves and getting into, you know, having sex with people. Because I was one of those people that avoided sex, like John from the UK was saying. I avoided it altogether. I was one lonely man for a long time. And I just completely avoided it because I didn't want to say anything. I didn't feel comfortable enough. So if I didn't feel comfortable, I'm not going to put myself in that situation. That's just how I am. So I just avoided it until I was, you know, comfortable or okay with it. And then when I felt more prepared that I could talk about it, then that's when I, you know, put myself out there again. So
right, let's see.
Some of it's like a maturity level too. So.
Yeah, well, it grows in your views and opinions, all that changes. You get more comfortable and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. George is 55 and he's negative and he says, I've lived through an age when many friends died of the disease while I somehow remained uninfected. I was at my boyfriend's bedside 13 years ago when he slowly slipped away. So today, if I meet someone with HIV, then I have all these horrible memories to deal with. But I'm quite open to sleeping with a positive person. There are treatments these days that really work, and positive people can live full lives. So where's the problem? Which is, you know, a great way to look at it. He's somebody who is negative who says, there's no problem with sleeping with somebody who's HIV positive. You know, there's treatments. People are living longer and productive lives. We're not, you know, here today, gone tomorrow. We're living many years, you know, with medications and stuff like that. So,
yeah. And that's always hard to kind of talk about because you don't want to send out the wrong message either. And we talked about this earlier, too. You know, we don't want people thinking, oh, it's okay, you know, we'll all have it. Why not? Because everyone's living longer and stuff like that. So that's a very hard balance to, you know, to...
Yeah, because a lot of people think, like you're saying, a lot of people think that, you know, oh, well, HIV, they're not dying anymore. It's not a big deal. I don't have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So... It's a good point. It's something you should always worry about. The next one is 28 years old and is HIV positive, and he says, I called HIV back home and was diagnosed last year. I am lucky to receive the drugs, but I don't tell any girls about it. I feel ashamed, and I am nervous about how they might think of me. I had one girlfriend who never knew about it. I was hiding something from her the whole time. I felt guilty, and it may have been partly because of HIV that we split up. You know, and that happens. Sometimes you're going to disclose, especially if you're going to indulge in a relationship with somebody for multiple months and get all these feelings involved and not, let's say, you know, you're with somebody, like I said, and you decide after 4 months you're going to move in together, and then once you move in, then you're going to sit down and have this talk. You know what I mean? And it's like, well, we should have had this talk before we moved in together because there's a lot of situations, you know, that arise when you move in besides just the whole sleeping together. So it's just...
There's a moral chain of events that have to kind of go along.
And like John in the UK says here in the chat room, he says the main thing is that you can't tell who is and who isn't. You know what I mean? Like HIV doesn't look one way. And that was, you know, one of the reasons of the Does HIV Look Like Me campaign. And also there's that game, Pause or Not. It's POSORNOT .com or .org, I believe. And it's a game. I submitted my picture. I don't know if it's in there. But it's a game that you play, and they show you a picture of a person, and you have to assume if the person is HIV positive or HIV negative. And you go back and forth, you know what I mean, and changes pictures.
Funny.
And you get to choose, and it shows you that there's no one way that HIV looks. You know what I mean? They're very, very different, and there's many faces in HIV. Doesn't discriminate and only attack, you know, gay white males. It everybody is at risk.
That would be something cool to have at, you know, events and stuff like that. Just have like a little booth and people could go up and, you know, have like 20 people's picture up there and you click on them and
it's a really cool idea, and it's gotten a lot of attention. I believe Paws Magazine actually started it and put it out, but I am, it's very interesting. Like I said, I submitted a picture, and there's a couple people actually who are members of the Paws Magazine community whose pictures are featured in that, and you can go through and check it out. So that's pawsornot.org, I think, or .com, and it's POS, not POZ. Let's see if I can read the next one here. Perry is 45 and HIV negative. I would treat non-disclosure of a positive status as a direct personal assault and would violently react with any means at my disposal, both personal and legal. The fact safe sex may have been practiced is not important. So he thinks that, you know, and this is going to happen. This happens to people you hear every day. They disclose their status and, you know, maybe their boyfriend or the person that they met that night at the bar decides that they want to beat the crap out of them because, you know, you didn't tell them before when you were, you know, drunk at the bar.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of these situations happen, and that's why you have to be very cautious in the way that you practice and the way that you disclose.
Yeah. Well, that's why I said that I only tell people that I trust, that I know that they can keep the information to themselves, because some people out there, they'll just, you know, that's where hate crimes come from. You know, they just find out that you're gay and they'll just beat you up for no reason just because you're gay. Mm-hmm. And you haven't done anything to them. So, you know, there are people out there that are knuckleheads, I guess, and they just want to take things into their own hands, and it's stupid. So you kind of have to look out for yourself, too. It seems like such a big responsibility, because you have to look out for yourself, look out for others, but, you know, they need to look out for themselves as well. So it's like a big circle of disclosure.
The next person here is 27, HIV positive, and he says, I've met this guy I really like. We were a bit naughty on the first night, and we're going to have sex together. I was diagnosed 6 months before, and so he would have been the first man I told. But when it came down to it, I couldn't tell him, and still haven't. The longer I leave it, the more difficult it is becoming. I really like him, and I do not want to lose him. And that's what a lot of people do. They don't tell, and they get in this relationship, and then, you know, it comes to the point to when. When should you tell him, and am I going to lose this person that I love? You're afraid to lose that. And
well, I'm sure they get this mindset that, well, I've already done it, so what's the point of telling them now? So, which is not a healthy way to look at it.
Right.
Because, you know, just because you have sex with somebody that's HIV positive doesn't mean that you get it that first time.
Very true.
So you could always, you know, some people might think, oh, once you have sex with somebody with HIV, you already have it. So probably that person had that mindset that, well, they probably already have it, so what's the point of telling them? So,
well, the main thing is before you actually, I just want to make sure, see, if anybody wants to call in, you can give us a call, 347-215-9442. The main thing is before you actually speak the words, I'm HIV positive or I have HIV, you have to think before you speak. Before you tell someone about your status, ask yourself why you're doing it. You know, once it's said, it can be it can't be unsaid. Once you say it, you can't take it back. You know what
right.
I mean? If possible, make sure you trust the person. This can be tricky if you've only just met. If it's just casual sex, you aren't expecting to see them again, and you intend to be completely safe, then what is your motive? Or what is your motivation? You may risk rejection, and the casual partner is less likely to keep your status a secret. On the other hand, telling someone before you have sex may mean less risk of you being prosecuted if they become infected. If you are disclosing because you think they are HIV positive too, you should be prepared to be mistaken or for them to deny it. Because a lot of people do deny it when you ask them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you could be open about it, but they're still going to deny it. If you live in a small or rural community, disclosing your status to one person can mean everyone ends up knowing. You know, people talk, blah, 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 rumors. They can spread around, you know, whether the city's a little town up in the Hickville or if it's a city like New York, people talk, they like to do that. And don't think that the internet will offer you anonymity. Just like the PosIM community, it is blocked off. That's one thing that a lot of people worry about, is you can post whatever you want on there, and the only thing that people can see, you can make your profile, you know, private where only your friends or only you can see it. You can make it, the public cannot see anything but the homepage of the site. And I try to do it so people, you know, will kind of communicate more. Yeah, the chat room, I'm actually eventually going to be moving that out of the homepage so it's not embedded anymore. And it's going to be embedded in the bottom bar so it'll pop up like Facebook.
Cool.
Which is really cool to have come up. Let me just check the switchboard. Okay. Reactions. A lot of people worry about reactions. Be prepared for them all. They run away, they scream, and they cry. Also be prepared for them to be okay with it. Often equally scary. Some people are just okay with it, and that kind of throws the person who's disclosing for a loop because they're not used to that reaction, especially in the beginning when you're used to the negative from people. If they respond badly, ask yourself if you really want to have a relationship with someone who can't see you beyond the virus you happen to have. Everyone has the right to have sex or a relationship with you for whatever reason, including your status. If they change their mind after you disclose, don't be offended. It might hurt, especially if you like them or if you're in love with them. But that's just one of the realities of life with HIV. And remind yourself it's their loss. You know, when you're disclosing, people reject you. It's their loss. They're missing out on probably a wonderful person. And that's what got me through people rejecting me.
Yes, because we're fabulous.
Yes. another thing that a lot of people think about is when they should tell. If you're hoping for a relationship, you will have to do it sooner than later. You know what I mean? It's like when you see people, like we were talking earlier, and I don't mean to keep bringing up transgender, but we were talking about, you know, on Jerry Springer, people come on and they, you know, bring you on Jerry Springer to tell you that I was once a male or I was once a female. And to me, that's something you do at home. That's something that you do, you know, before you get into this, oh, we've been together for 6 months and he doesn't know.
Right.
This is something that you do beforehand and you tell somebody. So it's important. When you think the time is right, tell them in a place where you feel safe and comfortable. That's one thing a lot of people take into consideration when disclosing. Should I tell them in a public place where you know that you're not going to get attacked? Or
oh, yeah.
They, you know what I mean? Like, is that what you do?
Go to the Applebee's.
Go to the Applebee's. And if they leave you there, at least you have a bar and some.
At least you got at a McDonald's parking lot. At least you got a Big Mac.
Hey, I've done it in a restaurant before, you know, and it was a good thing. So.
No, yeah, I would do it in public place.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Or my own place.
Right.
You know, but you have to fill it out. Each person's different. You know how, you know, if you have a partner that gets very, or if you're dating someone and you see that they're, you know, get very angry quickly or they do, you know, have a big temper, you're going to want to tell that person in a public area.
Yeah, or tie them up first.
And not in the club or the bar, because then everybody will know.
Yeah, and then everyone's up in your business.
If you've already had sex with the person, they may need to reassuring that they haven't been put at risk. So, you know, that's something that you have to let people know that, you know, we use the condom, we did everything safe, you know, you shouldn't be at risk, but I'm sure my, there's something that goes through my partner's mind all the time. You know what I mean? Like, what is the possibility? And it's something that I try to not think about, because I try to have the safest sex I possibly can.
Right.
Don't wait till just before or during sex. Good intentions often fly out the window in the heat of the moment, and bringing up a serious issue is a guaranteed passion killer. The person
yeah.
may resent being pressured into a snap decision or end up doing something they regret in the cold light of day. Which is true. If you're in the middle of just about to, you know, engage in sexual practices and you spit it out, that person's then like on the spot. They feel like they have a spotlight on their face. You know, what are you going to do? Are you going to do it? Are you not going to do it? You know what I mean? It's like, make a decision, and then that person can be forced into making a decision that they really maybe would not have done if they really thought about it.
Right.
So it's always good to kind of, you know, put it out there before you start jumping into bed.
Yeah, before the pants come off.
And don't assume that if someone starts engaging in sexual practices with you without a condom, it means that they are negative. Don't assume that just because someone lets you... Wait a minute, did I just say that? And don't assume that if someone lets you use a condom that they are positive. So, you know what I mean? Just like we said earlier that you mentioned, Josh, use a condom all the time and always assume that the person is HIV positive. Then you're always prepared.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the most important thing that I like to stress, is that just make sure that you use safe sex and use condoms. And the main thing is what we're going to touch on, just real quick, because I know we're running down to 3 minutes. If you guys missed last week's show, we actually interviewed Jack McEnroth. That's in our archives. Sunday, the Sunday that just passed, the 15th, me and Jeremy had a show, and we did a show on being co-infected with HIV. And then next week's show on Tuesday is actually going to – Wednesday, I did it again. On Wednesday at 2 p.m. is going to be an interview. I have a gentleman by the name of Darren Main. He is a meditation yoga instructor, HIV/AIDS activist, and author out of California. And I'm going to try to get him to come on and talk a little bit about how he does. And I'm kind of curious if yoga and meditation, you know, helps him with his health and stuff. I'd like to find out some more stuff on that. Sounds kind of interesting. And then this Sunday show coming up, me and Jeremy will be on air, and we will be doing a show on relationships and are they possible, and what is important in having a relationship with somebody who is either HIV positive, or you being HIV positive and being with an HIV negative partner, because there's a lot of what to do and how to make it work and can they work. Because a lot of people who are positive only want to date HIV positive people, and they feel that that way is the best way for them. And, you know, me and my relationship is proof that I don't have to be with somebody who is HIV positive. I can be with somebody who is HIV negative and have a normal relationship. So any last words on disclosure, Josh, before we head out of here?
Just do your job. Don't get involved in something that you're not comfortable with. And that's pretty much it. Just be responsible always.
That's right. It's always important to be responsible. And remember, you folks can find me and Josh and some of the chat room members at the PosIM community. And you can log on to www.posiam.com. That's posiam.com. And I just want to thank you all for tuning in. And remember, we'll be back here next Wednesday at 2 p.m. to bring you a great interview with Darren Main. And I'm just trying to think if there's something else I can spit out before the show ends. I have about a minute. I also want to mention for you to check out this author. I'm about to try to get him to come on the show. He's an HIV-positive author, and his name is Joshua Dagon. D-A-G-O-N, and you can go to joshuadagon.com, and he has this really cool book called Into the Mouth of a Wolf, and it's a novel that he wrote, and he metaphors the HIV-positive infection in the world to werewolf infection. So it's a really cool twist, and I advise you to check it out. And I'll see you all next week, and Josh, you have a great day, man.
You too, and goodbye,
thanks.
Everyone.
Bye.